He just mentioned it in preaching. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And it's just like, I don't agree with God. What am I doing? Oh, I'm walking with the Lord. Really? Would God say you're walking with Him? That's the question, right? It's not all that you see. It's like, well, what's God think? It's like, well, I don't know who you're talking about. Oh, yeah, you know me. You know, I'm the one hiding in the bushes, right? You know, no, on the path with me, going down the... You know, had a lot of stuff in there. And a lot of guys that didn't wake up, you know, say, well, I want to be a prophet of the Lord. And God called them out of this corner and that corner and that corner. And you do it and you do it. And like, there was no pedigree for most of them at all. It's just amazing stuff. And so that ought to give you hope. It helps me a whole lot because I don't know what I'm doing, but we're trying to do it. That's the pastor thing. You know, we'll say, you know what you're doing yet? Nope, not really. just going at it, though. amen. 63 of Isaiah. We come to chapter 63. It has a very similar tone, the first six verses, as the first and second verse of chapter 61, which weren't fun to look at, but it's needful. Now, we looked at the second advent of the Lord when the Lord comes and He cleans up, He takes care of business against the nations that are against Israel. This is after the rapture when He comes back. The Bible says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Okay, so Edom, we're talking about people and people groups in everybody's a picture. Everybody represents. When we talk about Isaac, we're thinking about a promised child. We have good thoughts about Isaac. When we think about Abraham, and we think, boy, Abraham, faithful. Abraham, somebody that just kept going. Abraham that had faith to go when he didn't know where to go, but he just knew he was going with. That was about it. And the wind, God said now, so he went. And we think good things. And when the Jews in the New Testament say, oh, we're of Abraham, he's like, don't say that name. You're not doing nothing like Abraham did. You're just claiming the name, and you're not doing any of the work that Abraham did, putting faith in God. When we see Jacob and Esau, right? Now, one of the reasons why he got Jake instead of Jacob was because I don't like the front half of Jacob. I like the back part, but the front part, I said I ain't gonna call my kid Jacob because I just don't like it. That was because I tend to be more on the Esau side when it comes to the hunting and the outdoors and all that stuff. I kind of like that part, but the guy was full of his own belly, right? I've never been come back from anywhere outside, so I'm so hungry, I'm going to die. Right? Father, I called him soft. I kicked him in shorts with the rest of the kids I'm coaching right now. So you're pathetic, right? That is terrible. You're a grown man. That's terrible. You got a beard. Like, give me a break. Now you got a hairy chest and everything else. I said, you're going to die? Give me a break. Suck it out, right? Don't be a wimp. Oh, brother. You know, it's like, no. No way. That's why you got Jake instead of Jacob. But you see, Esau, he gave it all. For his belly. Okay? And so this is his people. This is Edom, right? These are the ones that say, you know what? Birthright, nothing. I don't want nothing. The thing that God gave me, I said, I'm more worried about what's going on in here than what God has given me, right? So those are Edomites. God's coming back from them. Coming back. And then change. When you study Scripture, you go anywhere and you sit under somebody and they teach you stuff, they'll talk about law first mentioned in the Bible when something's mentioned for the first time or the second, it has a theme that it carries through Scripture that doesn't change a whole lot. Esau's crew never turns it around and says, oh, wow, we're going to, and from this day forward, no. They were just always, you know, it was about them, it was about the flesh, it was just carried like that. So where are they going to end up being here in the last times when it comes to God's people? They're going to be on the other side. And that's where God's coming from. That's where Christ is coming from. And it says with dyed garments, okay, with dyed garments. He wasn't having a party. It wasn't Lydia, the seller of purple, selling, you know, giving God some purple. It wasn't that he was, you know, putting on royalty. He'd been in a war. He'd been destroying people, and the blood's getting on him is what it's talking about. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. You know it's not a man when it says that, okay? Because it'll just be the man thinking that. And those that are afraid of that man, not God, though. Not God. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Right? That narrows it down to one. Right? That just knows it's the Lord. We're talking about the Lord. You give that to anybody, say, man, I don't know who it's talking about there. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, should help us, should give us a clue. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. Now you throw the grapes in, we crank them up, and out comes the skin of the grapes and all the vine. I mean, it's quite the process. We had a friend, it was a co-worker of Mrs. Garner's, and her husband was an accountant for Welch's. So the Welch's, a lot of the grapes grow in the U.S., Washington State, and Michigan. A lot of the Welch's, and they're contracted grape growers there. A lot of Welch's doesn't even have a lot of grape property themselves. They contract them out. And they, you know, they go on and they have to meet so many grapes. Welch's didn't want people having to have wine at communion, so they grow grapes to have unfermented grape juice for communion. That's Welch's story. I mean, that's like part of their story. I mean, they sell grape juice is amazing. I mean, it's like full of antioxidant stuff. It's not a commercial pitch for anybody to go buy some grape juice. But if you've ever had like fresh, like, yeah. I mean, when the dairy would overflow, they call my mom. They're like, the cows, we got too much, you know. And they just like take jars over and just get like the real deal. Like, bring it home. And I never appreciated that as a kid, brother. My mom's always like, you know, where's the store jug? Like, I don't get, you know, I don't know. The finer things in life, Grandpa used to say. If you get grape juice that is just like fresh, it is amazing. I mean, it's just like, man, we get like that much of it from somebody, and you know, Dad made sure none of us touched it. If we got any of it, you know, it's amazing stuff, right? It's absolutely amazing. But how do you get that back then, right? How do you get it back then? Well, they have these big, you know, like what it looked like, a concrete ring now, right? And it'd have a hole down on the bottom of the end of it where all the juice would run out. They'd throw all those grapes in there and just watch them smash themselves. No, they got all the teenagers in there, right? And it was, you know, it was a dance, you know. They'd sit there and smash ants for hours and hours. They'd throw more in there and they'd smash it and throw more in and all that juice would run out. And the description of that person that's in there doing it, right, smashing those grapes and smashing them and smashing them and all that grape juice that's not running out is getting up on the bottom of their clothes. Okay, so the picture that's described here, he says, I have verse number 2, thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. Now, there's no fat in it, but fat's always like the good stuff. That's the stuff that you want, right? When you're cutting your steak for Father's Day this year, I don't know, man. I was telling some people about that the other day. That sounds like a good idea again this year. I don't know. We can't. I mean, Brother Tim, when you go out for Father's Day from your church and the preacher hands you a steak, I mean, what do you think? Like, I'm coming back to church there, maybe. I don't know. But anyhow, when I was a kid, right, I was like, oh, I don't want to eat the fat. That's gross. And, it's chewing. What do we aim for now as old people? It's just like, cut the rest of that thing away. The kids are like, that's going. It's like, give me that. No way. I'm just saying, like, when you look at animals, that's where they go for, right? Everything eats the brain out of that salmon first. It's amazing, right? Birds eat the eyeballs, then they eat the brain out. That's where it's at. They're eating the fat first, then they eat the rest of it. So it's talking about the juice here that's running out. The important part. Who is this one? I have trodden, verse 3 says, I have trodden the winepress alone. Means he doesn't need anybody's help to get the job done. Absolutely doesn't need anybody's help getting the job done. Okay? I mean, he don't need help getting America straightened out. He needs us to obey him. So he has somebody to point to, my people. Right? If we don't obey him, he can't point to us and say, my people. He said, somewhere out in the world, there's somebody that loves and worships me. That's why we have to obey. That's why we don't have to worry about like, well, we got to get this. We got to get this. Like, my people, we got to obey. We got to be that light that God could even point to and say, my people. He says, I tread it alone. And of the people, there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. Their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. I will stain all my raiment. We've already read in Revelation 19, that passage, right? His vesture, the Bible says, dipped in blood. It's not a fun place to dwell and to think about. But those are the people, like Edom. Those are not, God, you got your way? We're doing it our way. You go against God, you'll lose every time. The Bible says there are no counsel against the Lord. There is none. I mean, you don't have to stay up at night. You're thinking about how you're going to, you know, outsmart somebody about Bible. There's no counsel against God. There's none. Absolutely none. Those people need to be loved and be convinced of God's love is what they need. That's a hard, very, very hard thing to do. Arguing with somebody can be easy at times, but loving somebody is not always easy. The Bible says, verse 4, "For the day of vengeance is in mine heart." Chapter 61, verse 2, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." Okay? That's the day that's coming. That's the day that's ahead of us here. We read that in Luke 4:16, where Jesus is in the synagogue. He takes the scriptures, he turns to Isaiah, and he reads it, and he stops at the acceptable year of the Lord. Because the day of vengeance hasn't come yet. It's not come yet. We have a day of grace right now. And he said, but it's been years and years. I know. But remember what the Bible says. 1,000 years, right? It's like a day to the Lord. He doesn't age with time. He's looking really good, right? We're talking about getting older and everything that goes along with that, but not God. God doesn't entropy. The world, his creation does, but he doesn't. He doesn't. He's perfect. He's waiting for all this stuff. That's why we got to be on his time schedule, not our own. We got to slow ourselves down when we're tempted to speed up. We got to walk with God when we're tempted to run. Or run the other way, right? Run ahead or run behind, okay? I mean, it's nowhere. You want to be right next to him, right? Like, oh. Ray, let's go. David figured it out. It's a good place to be. It's a good place to be, right next to the Lord. The Bible says in verse 4, "For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." Okay? It's come. "I look, there was none to help. I wondered, there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. My fury, it upheld me. I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury. I will bring down their strength to the earth." Verse 7. "I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord." Who is this guy? First he's treading people out and he's got blood on his clothes, and now he's a nice guy. He's loving people. Who is this guy? Right? When we see what God is about in Jeremiah 9, the Bible says, "Loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. These things I delight, saith the Lord." People are like, "Oh, God's love. Why, he's trampling people down right here." You ever read this chunk of the scripture? Yeah, I'm glad verse 7 is in there. But look, if we're against God, it's a bad thing. It is a bad thing. And it convinced people that you really don't mean that. You really don't want to mean that. I mean, look at this. I know you're saying you don't care and you think, but you really don't want to have a position. You try to be as serious as you can. Like, look, it's not good. It really isn't good. But on the other hand, there is a God that loves. There's a God that forgives. There's a God that accepts repentance of man. "I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel." See, if people would talk like this, there are no Edoms out there. There are none. But somewhere in there they said, "It's about me, and God didn't do something for me." Unbelievable. I mean, Brother Greg was there on Sunday morning in Matthew 28. The Bible says, "Some doubted." What's left to doubt? You know, that's something wrong with your head, man. I was like, what's left to doubt? How could you not believe? The devil just working overtime, filling your mind. And you're buying. Absolutely buying. He said he was going. I mean, everything he said for 3 years took place. You don't understand any of it. All you knew is you should have been there at the morning of the third day. You should have been there, right? Instead of like, well, let's get the spices and go anoint his body, right? Like we did to everybody else. But he's not like everybody else. Absolutely not. The Bible says, "Great goodness toward the house of Israel." We need to be for Israel. "Which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies," not their goodness, okay? I mean, you can't look at it and say, well, there's something really special about Israel apart from God. Not really, they're people just like us. But God's love is towards them. He's chosen them. That's what makes them special. There's nothing that you take that away, and they're the same. I mean, God has just chosen them. That's the sovereignty. That's his right. He can do that. So why does God pick somebody? The sovereignty of God stuff, if that keeps you up at night, you're going to keep it up for a long time because you're never going to find an answer for it. Because now you're asking, why did God do that? And he don't have to give you the answers. King doesn't have to answer why he does this or that or why he didn't. You don't have to do that. And anybody thinks that they know, it's like, well, it's not worth it. You're saying God's holy, God's righteous. He can choose who he wants to choose. The Bible says he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. The loving kindnesses, they're like events where he loves. Events where he loves. Events where he loves. You do something and he still loves, right? And it's his loving kindness there. And then you multiply the loving kindness and then you get loving kindnesses, right? Because he's been loving kind to you multiple times. That's what the Bible says. There's multiple. You can't even find loving kindness in 18:20. I've looked before, right? And it's, you find kindness, you can find love, but loving kindness is a special, it's a special word. The Bible says in verse 8, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Verse 10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Isn't that something? Right? That happens today. That happens today. The Bible says, surely they are my people, children. Okay? There is children, and they turn enemy against them. You got young people in your family that you're struggling with, you're battling against. Hey, God knows exactly where. You take that straight to him. Straight to him. You don't have to have answers. You don't got to have all. You just take it and said, Lord, you know. You know what this is like. They're for me. They're my children. What's going on? And some people, you get so disheartened, like, oh, they're supposed to, like, it's supposed. Hey, one, everybody's different. You go from one child to the next. We were putting Mrs. Garner, I don't know even where she got it. She got a personality thing. You, like, answer the questions. This was an animal one. It was really interesting. It gave you an animal. It turned out to say, this is the animal that you're like, and this is why, and this thing. I was like, that's not too bad. We put the kids through it. Turns out two of them are the same, and the other two of them are the same. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, maybe that's why they butt heads when things are the same. But so this person's different? This person's like, well, I thought because this one was easy and this one was hard or this one was different. You don't know. But God forbid you end up coming here. You got a friend, you got a coworker, and they know you're a Christian. They said, man, I'm really struggling in this area. You say, look, God knows. God knows. He became the enemy of his own children, not by his own desire. The Bible says they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. They did that. They said, I ain't doing it no more. I ain't doing it. Not going to do it. Verse 11, then he remembered the days of old Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble as a beast goeth down into the valley. The Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. You need to go through hard times. You need to remember God bringing you through good times and reset your brain and say, you know what? It ain't as bad as what I think it is, right? How is it that God, we get our eyes off God, right? We get down looking at the waves again, right? We talk about it Sunday, and everything becomes this big deal. This big deal. Big deal. I should have been keeping notes of the whole season. I show up Monday and Coach's like, come here, I got some news for you. I was like, oh, my soul. Not goodness, right? That's just like, oh. I said, this year's, 2020 is spelled adversity, I think, or challenges, or whatever you want to call it. If you haven't learned to look to God in 2020, I don't know if another year is going to do it for you. And don't make it make 2021 worse than 2020. Let's say, well, this one didn't pass the test the first time around. Oh, mercy, right? I praise God this thing didn't start in January last year. Can you imagine being cooped up inside all winter? I was like, oh, it's all like, Right? Look to God. Don't matter what you think it is, look to God. Look to God. Those that were begging for Egypt had forgotten about the dry ground of the Red Sea. Right? God should have made them all stop in the middle and pick a rock up and stick it in their pocket. Where'd you get that? At the bottom of the Red Sea. Really? Oh, yeah. That's my rock right here. You know, this is it. You know, he brought us through that thing. Got my little thing to remember so I don't forget, because my brain sometimes will be slow and I'll forget. The Bible says, verse number 15, look down from heaven. Behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies towards me, are they restrained? Doubtless thou art Father. Doubtless thou art our Father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us. Okay? They're too far gone. Abraham didn't know them. He knew that God was going to... He promised them. The Bible says, and Israel acknowledgest not, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. Okay? I mean, if they'd have been telling Jesus we're of God the Father, that'd have been something, right? They're claiming Abraham, not doing the things that Abraham would have done, but then Abraham doesn't know them either. And if he was there, we talk about it, right? If our founding fathers were here, they'd set us straight, right? They'd say, what in the world? What are we doing? I mean, all you people are supposed to be in charge. How'd you let nine to get in charge, right? We didn't set it up for nine to be in charge. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's moved into the strict. Even what's going on now, we're like, well, I hope this. It was never set up to be that way. It's supposed to be the people. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. That's how they set it up. They didn't want it going back. Abraham had looked at the people and said, what are you doing? Why are you giving that sacrifice? And oh boy, if you could look into the heart and see why they were giving a sacrifice, to get gain, not to give, not to worship for their own selves. Mercy. The Bible says in verse number 17, O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and harden our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it. But a little while, our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. And now here's somebody that's seeking God, that's choosing God. 64 for the first part of it. It will continue next week how we finish here in 63 when they get turned around. But we just got to remember, we can't forget. I mean, God's against things. God, I mean, there's some things God said, I'm against that. And that has to be the mindset of the Christian. You can't just say, well, it's a different day, it's a different time. People always want to couch stuff soft. But hold on, what are we talking about here? Let's be real clear. No vagueness. Because God's not vague. Thou shalt not eat of it. Right? Just stay away from over there. Right? No. Thou shalt not eat of it. Even being close by it, he didn't say was a problem. Okay? So don't touch it. Don't eat it. Don't do it. You've got to make a line. Okay? You got to make a line. There's a lot of people quibble over stuff in the Bible. They're like, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? You try to put 2020 to the Word of God and be like, well, there's no verse for this. There's no verse. To bring God glory. What are you using it for? God peer into your heart. And why are you doing that? What's your decision about that? Are you making it so it kind of fits in with the Bible, but it really fits in with the world of how you really want to do stuff, how your other... I mean, get it right. Make it right. Especially a young person. Start off early and say, man, I'm going to stand for something. I'm going to stand for right. Might not have any friends, but the one or two you do have will be real friends. Cut down on your phone bill too, amen. Nobody calls me. It's kind of nice. Our phone was ringing off the hook the other day. Good people too. Amen. Like good things, all good things. I told my wife, I was like, oh, went out to work. I turned everything off. I was like, I'm not getting work done. Right? The next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Like, yep, there it is. There goes the day. Amen. There goes the day. We got to stand for right. You're going to get tested about what you believe. What you believe. You don't want to go walking off with the crowd not knowing what the crowd believes. That's danger time. Maybe say, well, what are they all thinking? Well, let's follow them. A lot of people following Jesus, they just want to see what was going to happen. They weren't for what he was doing. Because when that path started going up the hill towards the cross, everybody just kind of, right? Everybody. Yeah, they said, whoa, hey, oh no, we're not following up. You know, you can figure out what you believe. Father, we thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be on your side, Lord, always, always, always. And Father, we feel for these. They're going to be trodden down in the end times, Lord. We just pray that you'd change hearts, Father, that you would work and help your word, Father. Help us as we preach it. Help our love for others, Lord, to be seen, to be effective. Lord, our witness, our testimony, all these things, Lord, be effective. We'd win people, Lord. We'd love them. We'd show them. Ask that you do work tonight, Father, in our prayer time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a fresh prayer sheet on the back if you need one. My pastor outer's not here, but... Amen. The second thing I heard out of Pastor Kelly's mouth ever after I met him was, a need seems an opportunity given. I can't ever forget it. You know, like that's his saying. If you see a need, it's an opportunity that's been given you to fulfill a need. So he yells at a lot at camp, need seems an opportunity given. You know, and a piece of trash on the ground. Or, there you go. And I'll walk past it now. You know. All right. Brother Spino made it back. He's where he's, or, I'm sorry. I'm looking at Nick Serino thinking of Brother Spino. Brother Spino made it back. He's back where he's supposed to be. So back in his field, and things are going well. We'll have a update. I'm trying to get through a bunch of letters and just fully update a bunch of these. I got 5 or 6 that I need to change some of the main little points here on the missionaries. I gave Brother Robertson's contact information because they don't know each other, and he said he just learned about Brother Robertson up here, and it's, you know, you never know how that's going to work out, but it's good to know anyways, and they can share notes or whatnot. Brother Hamilton's doing very good. Got a great letter from him. Brother McCurdy's doing well, still here, stateside, up in Fairbanks. His father's health is not doing well. I want to pray for his dad's health. Yeah, flip the page here. Unspoken request tonight before we start going here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 unspoken requests. I'm going to make that 13. I got a young person that needs, I can't talk about, but needs help.